Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Well, how are you doing this morning? It's great to be back. Always love coming here. This is a great church. We come here, we go to Nolamara and really enjoy our time here. And I was really excited this morning, or I was really excited actually a few weeks ago when I heard the theme you're having for this year. Can anyone tell me what is your theme for this year? Live out our love. You know, to live out our love means that we don't leave it here on Sunday. To live out our love means that we take it with us. To live out what God has given us means that it doesn't end on Sunday afternoon. It actually is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. To live out means to take whatever God gives us and to share it with our world. Would you agree? We're going to just pray, and then I'm just going to share with you what I believe the Lord has for us this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that when we come and we worship you, your anointing just comes in this place. And we are changed. And we are healed. We are set free. Lord, I want to thank you today that your power is in this place and we can experience that. We can feel that. And we can live that out in our life. God, we just thank you for your goodness in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. You ready? You ready? Anyone out there? Oh, God, you're good. Well, have you ever considered that God wants you to lead a powerful, supernatural life? Have you ever considered that? Now, I'm talking to each one of you. I'm not talking to the person who's sitting next to you or Pastor Pauline or just the leaders of this church. I'm talking to you this morning because God's desire is for you is to break the boundaries of the natural life, to no longer just consider yourself a natural being and live in a natural existence and do what you can naturally. But I believe and I know that God wants you to live a life that's outside of natural dimensions and natural boundaries. To be able to live from a dimension that has power. Power to see natural circumstances bow to a superior kingdom. Amen? I believe that we live in a season or a dispensation where to have the supernatural power of God resident in our lives is essential to impact our world. Absolutely essential. You see, our plans, our schemes, our thoughts don't change our world. You know, they don't even change us because they're ours. You know, God said in Isaiah 55 verse 9, he said this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." See, he has ways for us that are higher than our ways. And he has thoughts for us that are higher than our thoughts. And he has a life for us that is higher than our life. Can someone say amen? A life where we have an impact, not through our own strength, but through God's power working through you. You see, Jesus modeled this life. Jesus modeled this life for each one of us. He came to earth and lived a powerful life as a man, so that you can follow. Actually, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, it says this. He, being Jesus, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. His life was an example of what's available for us. Now, I'm not just talking to late leaders and pastors. Once again, I'm talking to you, every person in this room. The life that Jesus lived, the power that he walked on in, the authority that he used is available to us because he came to earth and humbled himself as a man. Jesus was a living blueprint of your potential in God. Do we believe that? This is what Acts chapter 10, verse 38 to 39 says. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, interesting, he was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I'm Ian of Safety Bay. Who are you? Jesus of Nazareth, of a small village, of a small town, a man. God who came as a man. And it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healed all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. Why did he have the power to be able to do those things? Because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and God was with him. And our mandate as Christians is to follow that example. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, says this, and I love this scripture. It says, as he is, so are we in this world. Not as he is, so are we in our church. But that's great. But it says, no, so is he. As he is, so are we in this world. You know, he was born of a woman, a natural woman. He was baptized in water, the same as we're baptized in water. After he came up out of the water, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He was led off into the wilderness and was tempted as we are tempted. And then it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Now, he started his ministry on earth with this statement. This is the first recorded thing that Jesus ministered. So you ready? Here we go. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. I'm going to read that again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sharing his story, evangelism and outreach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, healing the hearts and the emotions of man. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, declaring freedom and recovery of sight to the blind, healing the body, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, deliverance and freedom, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to be a prophetic voice to the people that he came in contact with. See, the anointing of the Spirit on Jesus was a prerequisite for his life of power. And the anointing of the Spirit is a prerequisite for you to follow. Amen? So a life where God can impact your world through you starts with the anointing of the Spirit. So I want you to do something with me this morning. Just repeat this after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Let's say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now that's yours. That scripture is for you. It's not just for me. It's not just for Jesus. It's for you. Let's say it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now consider the thing that you want to see changed. Consider the healing you want to see take place. Consider the salvation of your neighbor or a relative. And then say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me for that. Do you understand? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you for purpose. It comes upon you to see breakthrough. It comes upon you to separate you from the world, to bring impact to your world. Now, this morning, we all experience the anointing in worship. Now, under that anointing, that's where God moves. That's where people are healed. That's where people's lives are changed. That's what draws people to him. It's the anointing of God that draws the world to him. Let's just say it once more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Amen. Take that home with you. That's yours. Pray it over yourself. See, this is where breakthrough comes. But the problem is that we slip back into natural thinking and we go, you know, oh, this is just me. Because it's possible to look like a Christian, sound like a Christian, go to church every week, and have zero impact on the world around us. I know I've done that. It's possible to tick all those boxes, but have zero impact out there. We can look sensational in here, but have zero impact out there. The word tells us in John 15, 6, it says, he who abides in me and in him, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now that's the word. The word is telling you this morning that without him, without his anointing, without his power, we can do zip. Absolutely nothing. Well, this morning, I believe he's drawing you into a life of abiding reliance on him and his power. Well, if you're sitting there and you've sort of checked out at this point and gone, well, the anointing is for pastors or for leaders, for everyone else, it's not for me, I want you to stop it. Because if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, he wants you to live an amazing life, an incredible journey of strength and authority in him, of supernatural legacy, a journey that starts today. Amen? All right. How do you start to move into a life of anointing and power? You know, like everything in the kingdom of God, and I love this. This is something about God and the kingdom which I just hold so precious, is everything in the kingdom of God is personal. It's personal. It's about you and him. You see, your salvation is about you and him. What he did for you and your response to him. So your whole Christian life revolves around you and him. This is how personal it is. Have a listen to this. I love this. This is John 14, 23 to 24. And this is the promise that Jesus left with his disciples and every one of his disciples, and this means you. He said, John 14, 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him," listen, "and make our home with him." We have the God of heaven living with us. And it gets even better than that. Listen to this. This is John 14, 20. "And at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." How personal. It just does not get more personal than that, does it? God's in us. The power of the Almighty is in us. The Holy Spirit resides in us. You know, I'm very, very close to my wife, but I'm not as close to my wife as I can be to my God who lives within me. He knows my every thought. He knows my every action. I can communicate with him like that. This is personal. There is no one closer to you than God. This is an amazing thing. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And here it is. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." This is personal. And this is why it affects everybody in the room. And why everybody in the room has the same potential of living a life of power. Because it's personal. How personal is that? So it's not about how many Christian boxes you have ticked. This is deeply personal. The anointing and power of God is developed by intimacy between you and him. I'm going to say that again so that sinks in. And I've explored this. I've spent 32 years, you know, trying to understand this. And this has been a topic that's really important to me. Where was I? The anointing of God is developed by intimacy between you and him. Now, you probably noticed in the scripture, Jesus would leave his disciples and he'd go up on a mountain and he'd pray and he'd spend time with God and then he'd come down and he'd minister out of that. So he would go away and he would spend time with his Father and the anointing of God would be upon him and he would come down and minister out of that. But you know, Jesus also said this in John 5:19, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man," being him, notice how he calls himself the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do." See, he was in the same situation. He realized that if he didn't go and pray, he was setting an example for us. If he didn't go and pray and come back with an anointing of power, he'll have nothing to minister out of. Same as you and I. Okay? Because this is about surrender and reliance on God, not us. You know, I first started to figure this out how this works a long, long time ago. I was, this is probably 1987, 1998. We got saved, and very, very soon after we got saved, we left Perth and we went across to Sydney to take up a job in Sydney. And we were living in Sydney at the time, and we started going to a church over there on the North Shore of Sydney, Sean Stanton's church. Some of you may be aware of Sean Stanton. And we started going to his church, and he was wonderful. And we were green as grass. We were babies, real baby Christians. We were about 26, 27 at the time, and we were like absolutely green. And we started going along to a home group, and we enjoyed home group. And Brad, our leader, was amazing, encouraging sort of a fellow. And he said to me one day, he said, "Ian, I want you to lead worship for us." Because he knew I was a bass player. I'd played bass in bands and that sort of thing before I was a Christian. And he said, "I want you to lead worship for us." And I said, "Brad, you can't lead worship on a bass. You know, it's just not the right instrument for leading worship." And he said, "Well, learn the guitar and then you can lead worship for us." So, you know, easy. And I said, "Well, Brad, I don't have a guitar." And he said, "Well, I've got a guitar. Here, take this. And I'll show you a couple of chords and come back next week and lead us in worship." No pressure. So he taught me three chords. He taught me E minor, A minor, and D. And I went away and I learnt my E minor, A minor, and D, and I practiced that, and I would practice that. And at the time, we were living on a boat. We bought a boat. We were living in Sydney Harbour. I was working for a boating company in Sydney Harbour. And I'd take my guitar and I'd get in my dinghy and I'd row ashore. And we had a park just next to our boat where our boat was moored. And I'd sit on a rock and I'd just play my E minor and my A minor and my D. Now, what I noticed that as I thanked God and started to just worship him, as I played my E minor and my A minor and my D, very poorly, I will admit, the presence of God would come. And I would sit on this rock and I would just play and the anointing would come and a peace would just flow over me. And I used to have these amazing experiences just playing my guitar and enjoying God's presence and the anointing of God that was upon that was amazing. But what I realized that I could do, and this was astounding to me, is I could row back to my boat, I could get changed, we could go off to home group with a guitar, and I could actually stand in our home group and I could play the same three chords and the same anointing would come, and I could lead anyone in our home group through into that same anointing because of the same three chords that I played. So it's like I took the anointing that God placed upon me while I was worshiping him and I just delivered it. But what I learned as I matured and became stronger in God is that I could lead three people into that atmosphere, or I could lead 500 people through that same door. So I was taking what I was experiencing with God and leading people through that same door because it was on me. It was being developed in me. There was anointing that was going with me. Do you understand how that works? It would stay on me. Because the anointing is something you carry. The anointing is a spiritual force that accompanies the Holy Spirit, but it isn't the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. This is 1 John 2:27. It says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it." Now, the Holy Spirit is never referred to in Scripture as it. He is always he. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person who comes and lives in you. But the anointing is it. "And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him," being the Holy Spirit. So the anointing is a thing that comes with the Holy Spirit. Amen? In the Old Testament, the symbol of the anointing was oil. They would make an anointing oil, and they would pour it over the priest for consecration and for power. Well, today we still use oil as a symbol for anointing. And it has many of the same characteristics. You know, the word anointing in the New Testament is translated from a Greek word, kairo, which means to smear, to rub with oil, or to consecrate to an office of religious service. It's not about a person. It's not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is something that comes upon you and gets on you. It's like oil. It's a spiritual substance. It's sticky. Has everyone ever had a massage and then gone and had a shower? And you've got this sort of slimy stuff all over you that just won't seem to come off? Well, the anointing's like that. You get it on you and you can take it places. And you can start to live in that, and there's an anointing that abides with you. This is an exciting thing. This is an amazing thing about the spiritual life. You can develop an anointing. You know, I've had situations in the anointing. I remember years ago, we were missionaries in Africa. We were doing work in Madagascar. And when we were in Africa, we went to this meeting at this church in Durban. And there was a guy ministering there who's well known for the things of the Spirit. And he prayed for me, and the anointing of God came upon me so strong, I couldn't get up off the floor. But once I got up off the floor, the anointing, the sensation of that anointing stayed with me for days. I felt the presence of God tangibly for days. It gradually wore off my life. But I've learned that the anointing is sticky. It gets on you. So what you experience on a Sunday morning in worship, you can take with you. And the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more that anointing is upon you. And it's that anointing that Jesus ministered out of. And it's that anointing that we minister out of. Amen? Do you understand where I'm going with this? Okay. You know, the scripture says that the anointing of God can be abiding, so that as we mature, that anointing can grow and grow and grow and grow. And it stays with us, and we can step into that when we need it. But all you've got to do is start the journey of developing the anointing in your own life, because that's what's required to live a powerful Christian life. We need to go about our day with the residue of the anointing of God on us and just let it leak out over everyone we come in contact with. We need to develop that. We will start to see changes in our world. We'll start to see things happen. We'll start to see people getting healed when we pray. We'll start to have the right word in our mouth to speak to the right person at the right time. It comes by anointing. It doesn't come by cleverness or any other thing. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Now, I had an experience once that really proved this to me. Now, we had planted our church in Port Kennedy, and it was growing. Things were going well. We'd done set up, pack up for about 4 or 5 years, and we outfilled those places. So we decided it was time to lease buildings. So we leased 2 buildings in Port Kennedy, and they were just factory units, as like this probably was. And we started fitting it out, and we were fitting out these factory units one Saturday morning. And so we're having a church busy bee, and there's lots of people there, and there's a buzz, and it was great, and I was enjoying it, and there's a real hum, and everybody was sort of celebrating. Praise God, we've got buildings, don't have to be set up, pack up anymore. You know, it was a great atmosphere. And all of a sudden, this guy comes through the door who was actually a relative of one of the people in our church, never been in our church before. No. And he started carrying on. He's going, F and this, that, and the other churches. Look, I'm in a church, and it's a wonder lightning hasn't come and the roof fallen in. And, you know, this guy was going on like this, swearing his head off. And I'm going, whoa, this is a church. You know, we're having a fun little anointed busy bee here, and you're upsetting. And I'm sort of just about to tip this guy out. Seriously, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and went, Now, this guy came over to me. Oh, you're the pastor. Oh, I don't really like pastors. You know, carries on. And anyway, so, okay, shut my mouth. And I just listened. And this guy started. Oh, I hate churches, hate pastors. Oh, my, you know, carried on about churches and how, you know, they always want your money. And they, you know, the usual story, usual stuff. And anyway, the Holy Spirit's going, shh, and I'm going, struggling. And you know what? I stood there and I listened to this guy for about 20 minutes, swearing and carrying on. And he started to tell me about his father and why he hated churches and how his upbringing had been and the abuse and the anger that he had been subjected to. And he started to really tell me about some very deep things. And I noticed that there were tears starting to form in his eyes. And the Holy Spirit's still going, shh. And his tears started to roll down his face. And he started to sob like a baby. And as he cried, I just put my hand on his shoulder and said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you love this man. Thank you that you care for him and you have a place for him." And you know, after that, I did nothing. In fact, I would have blown the whole thing. I would have tipped him out. But the fact that the Holy Spirit had a plan and a purpose and the anointing of God was sufficient in the room to make the difference, this guy broke down and cried and I was able to minister him without me saying a word. God taught me a whole lot that day about how to minister in the Spirit. Let him. Because it's not about what you can do, but about what's on you or what you carry. Okay? You know, sometimes we'll say, "Wasn't the worship anointed?" Or, "Wasn't the message anointed?" Well, I tell you, someone has paid the price for that. That didn't happen by accident. You know, the girl who's playing the keys over here, I don't know her name, but I tell you what, there was an anointing on what she's doing. And I can guarantee you, she does that in her own personal life and the anointing of God just comes. And she sits in the anointing and plays. And then all she does is she just comes in here and does the same thing. She's paid the price for you to have anointed services. Pastor Pauline and Pastor Stuart, sorry, mental blank, have paid the price for the anointing of God upon this church. It's like, you know, that thing that was up on the slide earlier about intercession. Someone's paying me a price for the anointing. But it's available to every one of you. All right, let me share how this happens, okay? I'm going to get really practical in a minute. I'm going to give you five things that you need to do. But remember, it's a partnership, okay? It's about you and God, all right? It can be a sovereign act. God can act and just go bang, totally out of the blue, and do something significant that you had nothing to do with. Yes, that happens. But generally, it's a partnership. And remember, it gets on you, so be in positions that it can get on you, and I'll explain that. Because the presence of the Lord is drawn to the deposit on you. Worship leaders, preachers, they've paid. And you know what? When you're used to moving in the anointing, you know when you've missed it. I preached a message not so long ago, and I went, there was a definite anointing deficit on that message. So I changed it. You know when God's not on a thing. You know, I had an experience the other day, or a couple of weeks ago, not in this church, a little while ago, where I think God was talking to me about this message. So I think it was for that purpose. I hope it was for that purpose. I went to pray for this guy in our church, and he was on the altar, went up to pray for him, and I prayed, and words started to coming out of my mouth, but there was nothing else. There was no power. There was no authority. There was no sense of God's presence. They were just words and they were going, boop, 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 boop. There was nothing, and it horrified me. So what it caused me to realize is that I do carry an anointing that's always with me, that when I pray, I can step into that, and that's there. So if you've been a Christian a while, you're probably carrying an anointing that you're unaware of. But you need to get aware of it and develop it. Amen? So don't think that you just pray. No, no. When you minister, if you've been doing this for a long time, there is something that abides on you that is delivered. And when it's not there, why don't you ask God, God, on one occasion, take away your anointing and show me what it's like to minister with nothing. I'll tell you, no one gets healed. Nothing changes. No one experiences anything. It's a scary, scary thing. Amen? Okay, well, if you're still sitting there going, how does this relate to me? You know, this is what the Christian life is. Moving in God's power, taking him with you wherever you go. So listen, this isn't too hard. I'm going to give you five things that I believe, can't quite see the clock. Yep, okay, we're doing okay. Five things that I believe are important to see the anointing developed on your life. Okay, here we go. And I've tried this. I've spent 32 years playing and developing this and making mistakes, lots of mistakes, so I can tell you this works. Firstly, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, you really need to make sure that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, before he started his ministry, he went to John and he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, because the anointing is a byproduct of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So you need the Holy Spirit in your life so that the Holy Spirit can come upon you. So when we first got saved, we're 26, like I said, Denise was a spiritualist. Okay, so she chanted to Krishna and she would swing crystals by just looking at it and all that sort of stuff. She was really into spiritual things. And you know, the day she got saved, she also got baptized in the Holy Spirit. The lady said to her, well, now you're saved, do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And Denise said, well, I've received every other spirit, why not? And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and bang, instantly, something changed. She went home from that service, gathered up all her books with no one telling her she needed to do this, and burnt all those books. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon her life, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And when it comes to anointing, it doesn't come without the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why and how that works in a second if I have time. Secondly, pray in tongues. Tongues is a supernatural tool. It's a tool of the Spirit. Now, tongues in the natural is ridiculous, isn't it? It's a totally spiritual tool. And I believe that tongues, we've been given tongues to build us in faith. It says we're edified when we pray in tongues, but it releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit living in us. Is that correct? Tongues is important. We had a girl in our church who lived a really rough, hard life. She got praying in tongues. I don't know how she got it or why, but she got saved and she got praying. And all she would do was pray in tongues. And I tell you, she grew and grew and was delivered and was healed and grew and grew. And all she knew was praying in tongues. We need it. So if you wanted to develop the anointing in your life, first get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and secondly, start praying in tongues. Let's not let the church lose the power gift that God has given us. You hearing me? Okay, speak to Pastor Pauline if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, the word says that and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. You know, we need to go out there and destroy a few yokes, right? Third thing, spend time in God's presence. Now, this is vitally important because it's that time in his presence that develops and builds the anointing upon you. Okay? So if you could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, laying on the floor while your worship team played, that would be fantastic, because you would develop an anointing out of being in the presence of God for so long. So what I would suggest you do is start getting hungry for the presence, the experience of God being upon you and with you. Amen? If you see me driving down the street one day and you go, oh, that looks like that pastor guy speaks at our church, and I've got this glazed, strange, half-happy, weird look on my face, that's because I'm enjoying the presence of God as I drive along in my car with my worship music on. I will take every opportunity to spend time in the presence, because that's where the anointing is developed. I went through a season of my life where I was really, really addicted to the presence of God, and I became like a presence junkie, where I'd go, there was all these citywide worship meetings happening at the time, and I'd go to one after the other just to sit on the floor, lay on the floor, and just be in the presence, just soak up the anointing. Get interested in developing this in your own life. You know what's another good trick? Is any song that moves you, any song that is like a worship song that affects you, that grabs your heart, put them all together on a playlist, and then put them on when you first wake up in the morning and lay on the floor and let them just mess you up. You know, people say, why do I cry when I come into church? Well, that's why. It's the anointing of God on whatever's happening in the place. So you need to develop atmospheres of the presence so that you can actually learn and grow in His anointing. Is this making sense? So whatever moves you, it doesn't matter. Whatever you experience the presence of God on, I do it in worship because that's what I love and that's what I've known. So every opportunity in my car, I'm just enjoying the presence of God. You don't need to pray even. You don't need to pray. You don't need to do any. I just start by thanking God and just enjoying and thanking Him. And the presence of God just comes, and then I just sit there and enjoy it. That builds the anointing upon our lives. Okay, fourthly, pray for His anointing. Now, the word says that God's not a respecter of persons, okay? So you can pray and ask for His anointing. Now, you might be going, well, I don't need the anointing. I don't preach. I don't this. No. You need the anointing so that you can leak over the people that you work with. You need the anointing so that you can affect people by your smile. You need the anointing so that you can say the exact right word into somebody's life and not even realize you're doing it. You need the anointing. You know, don't ask Him for it. Don't think this is a pride thing. You can ask Him for it, because my experience has been that the greater level of anointing that I've moved in, the greater sense of awe and dependence on Him I have experienced. Because I realize this isn't me. I can't do this. I can't lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I can't do whatever. This is a God thing. Amen? Fifthly, go in faith. Okay, now faith and anointing work together beautifully. And sometimes we need to step out in faith first, and then the anointing comes. Okay? Now I'm going to skip some stuff because we're out of time. But you need to start to pursue the anointing in your own life. Luke 24:49 says, I'll skip that. Jesus realized that unless you're anointed by the Spirit, you won't have any effect in this natural world. And you know, the anointing of God changes you. The anointing of God changed Saul. It said it changed. The anointing came upon Saul and he changed into another man. Now, I never would have ever imagined that I would be doing this. I was just a young surfy bloke who liked travelling on boats. I never imagined being a pastor ministering to people. And, you know, in the last 32 years, we've seen the blind healed. We've seen the crippled people walk. We've seen incredible miracles and incredible events take place. But it's only happened because of the anointing upon a natural, a normal person. And this should be everybody's journey. Amen. I'll just ask the band to come up and join with me. You know, the word Christ means anointed one. Okay, so what's a Christian? A little anointed one, or a follower or anointed one. Don't try and live a Christian life without being anointed, because Jesus paid a very, very high price for you to be able to get anointed. We owe it to him to pursue what he's made available for us. See, you are his conduit for his power. And the pursuit of his anointing should be an everyday occurrence for you. You know, God knew you'd be here this morning. So sorry. God knew you would be here this morning. So this is for you. So all we need to do is start the journey of the anointing and enjoying the anointing of God. Let's just close our eyes. Now, if you're here this morning and you haven't started that relationship with God that I'm talking about, a relationship of intimacy and love and knowledge of him and of power, then you can start that today. And all that requires is us praying a simple prayer, meaning it from our heart, and following Jesus in whatever way he leads you. If you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, I'd like to give you the opportunity. So if that's you, all you have to do is give me a quick wave so I can see you. And then right where you are, we're just going to pray a prayer all together. And God's going to come and he's going to change your heart. He's going to come and live in you. And he's going to come and anoint you for the purposes that he has for you. If that's you, if there's anyone here this morning who's never received Jesus Christ, just give me a wave. Anyone here has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Okay, keep your eyes closed. I'll just ask you a question. Christian, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? Are you ready to walk the journey? You ready to start a journey of discovery and amazing experience in him? Now's the time.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.